Thank you tonight, Lord, for this gathering in the house of God. Lord, and as I think of this dear young man, oh Lord, his whole life is before him, and I think of what you could do with a man who has sold out for you in this dark world. And as I consider, Lord, this is probably his first time standing in front of a group of people. And as he trembles, Lord, I pray that you would just help him to realize here, Lord, tonight that we are all on a journey, and that there's a day coming when we will all stand before the Lord. Oh God, let the soberness and the gravity of that settle down upon his heart as he shares of the reality of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, raise him up. Make him a testimony of your power and your grace. That the whole world would know, Lord, that you have sent him, that you have delivered him, and that you dwell within him, Lord. That everyone that he knows, Lord, I thank you that they're already saying that, Lord, that something happened to him, Lord. And so, God, I just pray that you'd give him words. I pray for just a clearing of his heart and his mind, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. And just allow him to share what's on his heart, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the love of God tonight. And I pray, Lord, that as Brother Leonard preaches tonight, Lord, that you would bind the enemy, the devil, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that you would have free course in this place, Lord. Give him words, speak through him, we pray. We ask you to give us manna from heaven tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
It's a blessing to be here. All the nice singing and everything, it's just touched my soul. About the third last song that was sung there, it talked about eternity, where it's just beautiful. It really touched my heart, and may God bless each one of you and the grace and the wonderful mercy through faith. And the Lord's been touching my heart about this. I was trying everything and seeing what for excuse I could make of maybe not standing in front of this group tonight. Just, you know, I know that everybody knows maybe something happened in my life and something great happened, and it's a blessing. And I praise God for that. Only through Jesus that we're able to feel his power in our life. And I praise God for that. And I just, as I was thinking about this, standing here, and what do I say, different than any other testimony, any other thing that God would have did to someone else's life, and I know it all boils down to the same, that we all want to follow Jesus, but where his commandments aren't grievous to us, where we're on our face before the throne of the Lord, and that we're able to do that now yet with, like we heard this week, that we're able to do that when we can open our hearts now. And I just, I got this call, and it just kind of made me tremble inside, thinking of, I guess I can talk, but I just like, well, Steve, who's Steve Loniker to stand up here and do this? And so as the Lord was pressing things in my heart, my little daughter came up. I was sitting on the couch Thursday there, and I was just thinking, I was supposed to call back by 1 o'clock, and I was just thinking, what for excuse can I make? It was pathetic, I will say. You know, I just didn't want to stand up here, but praise God I'm here, and he gave me so much strength through this. I'm just so glad that I decided to share what God did in my life. And But my little daughter, the thing that really got me is she come up and she said, "Daddy, are you going to share your testimony?" And I looked over at her and I said, "Nah, I doubt it, Caitlin." And she just said, "You know what, Jesus wants you to do that." And it just, at that point, I couldn't. I was like, "Okay, Lord, you have your way." So, and Psalms 119, it says, "Blessed be thee that keep his testimony, and they that seek him with their whole heart." I was just blessed by that. And where are we at tonight? Are we seeking God with our whole heart? Just have to think, you know, this week was, every time I was here, it was just a blessing, and just to hear is if our account is cleared. And it just sent some things back where I went home in prayer and asked God to keep pressing on and keep moving forward in my life. And so I just I was just thinking of so many different things of what I could do or say tonight. But one thing I do know is through Jesus' blood is the only way that we're able to even stand up here and have the courage and to be able to speak his words. And Deuteronomy 6:11 says, "Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, as his testimonies and his stature, which he has commanded thee." And I just kind of touched my heart as I read that today, and just it was a blessing to think that if we can keep the Lord's commandments with his power and strength, it just, it's a blessing. And in Psalms 119, I read too, I just want to share with you, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And we can be this big wise person going after the lust of this world. And when God converts our soul, and he comes and presses down on us, it becomes a simple life. It becomes a blessing. And I praise God for that. It just, for his strength and his power. Had to think when I read this, God does make our life simple when he is ready, when we are ready to turn, not turn back. To turn our back to this world. To be walking the other way. So I just, John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. But fear has torment." That really touched me. Fear does. It has torment. It has a way to bring you down. It has a way that the adversary can come in and discourage you. We don't want to be them people. We want to be heading the other direction. I think, and we have a blessed opportunity. Jesus paved the way. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love, to finish that. It's just Luke 13:3 says, "I tell ye nigh, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." I just, a few of these verses today, I just figured I'd share before I start my testimony. And When I seen the word "all," I was like, that's everybody. That's every Mennonite, every Amish, every atheist. If we don't repent and we get our heart right with Jesus, we're done for. And I just this all means, I made a little note here, this all means all. No one left. No one left out. If you have religion and don't repent, the Bible says you're going to perish. And it's about what it boils down to, you know, this religion. If you don't have Jesus, you're going to perish. But there's a way out. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I was blessed by that. You know, just there's an escape route and out of this terrible, terrible situation that we can get ourselves into in life, and when it seems like we're growing up, and all at once we're just in it. But praise God for that. As many of you know, I was born in Allen County, a baby of 5. And I'd do anything for my family. I love them. I love my dad and mom. I would just do anything for them. I just know that sometimes in the spiritual world, that not everybody sees the same direction. And I think there is only one direction. And I just want to, if they could see, I guess, through my life, I guess, that I'm seeking after God's ways, I think that's the only thing that would show the direction I'm heading, I guess, if I could say it. My dad and mom brought me up like their dad and mom did. We just kind of a trend everybody does. I was religious and knew there was a God. Went to church every Sunday and heard some good sermons. Growing up, my sweet little boy days turned into a very carnal situation at a young age. And I cheated almost every subject in school. I just couldn't cheat enough. I couldn't get enough answers from somebody else. I didn't want to have no homework, but it seems like I always did. Just that from the little one up, you just grow up with this attitude of, your dad and mom tell you, you know, don't cheat, don't do this, but you don't have no, you don't have no power over that, seems like. At the Amish school, one of the boys was selling pocket knives a couple days. So I stole some money from my dad, and I bought one of these pocket knives. And a couple days later, before I knew it, and I'm not saying this for any of your children to do, but in my carnal state, a couple days later, I had a boy down in the schoolyard with a pocket knife drew on him. You know, it's just basically, it just went from one thing to another. But I knew it's definitely something missing, but there was no way out. Even as a young boy, it didn't take long for pride and carnal things to take control. My mom and dad would tell me, "Don't do all these," but I had no power over them. I was a terrible reader and speller. But praise God, He's showing me truths of the Bible as I'm obedient to them. So it's a blessing when you, it seemed like I read the Bible for so many months, and thinking, what can I read so I can share it with somebody? Kind of the wrong outlook, you know. What can I read to apply it to my life? You know, it just seemed like God brought that to my light. To the light of my life here, and it was a blessing to be able to read and pray to God about situations, but I praise God for that. My growing up days went really fast. Before I could blink twice, I was 16 years old and in the grips of the devil. I was cut loose. I was ready to roll, and I guess you guys probably, a lot of you have had that experience. And to see young men, young little boys growing up, it's a blessing to have a different outlook, that their daddy and mommy want to do what's right, want to do what the Bible says. That puts a warming place in my heart to see a see a young man at a, just seeking the Lord and talking about Jesus, and when we were down to fellowship this winter, there was some young guys there, and every time I seen them, it was just on fire. It blessed my heart. At the age of 19, I started dating my wife. Soon after, I started doing drugs every weekend, and even through the week, some nights, my friend would come up, and it got to be a point where it put a different spirit in me, a spirit of there was not enough evil that I could do to satisfy me. There's not enough carnality. But I praise God that He touched my heart. Friends, that road, that was a road you don't want to go down. Probably left for me many, many years and ruined part of my life. It just put some things in my life. It seemed like my brain, it did something. It did something and it wasn't good. And God's been, He's been healing me. I can feel it. And I just, because God can't live inside someone that don't repent and say, it's over. My life is your life. When we're ready to do that, like the Bible says, we've got to count the cost. We don't want to get the foundation in and think, well, that's basically enough. It hurts me so bad because so many people are deceived and try to gauge sin because they have religion. God says, be holy for I am holy. See, so many people when I talk to them saying maybe my children got home at 12 o'clock. They're getting earlier home than I did. It's not what the Bible teaches me. There's no room in this life to justify our sins. But humility, humble yourself, take ownership of your sins and say, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm it's just if until we can take ownership, it just seems like God and you're ready for something different, something at some point in your life you don't even know what you're ready for. And it seems like you can fill it with religion, you can fill it with Jesus, you can go down a road that God will harden your heart. He'll put one layer of callous at a time. I just see it in people's lives. Their heart's hard. They're calloused. Until you can chop that heart into pieces, melt it down, start over. It's the only thing that's going to be able to have the Lord work in your life. I'm 100% sure if I would have died in my Rumspringa of days and after I was married, I would be burning in hell right now. There's not a doubt in my mind for what the Bible's telling me. See, when you start gauging sin, everyone looks at the other people, they look to friends. It seems like I see that so much. Everybody's, well, they don't do that. They don't do this, but God forbid. So let's get right with God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. We have, but Now we don't have to be that person. We don't have to be them people. I was at a party, and some people came to witness, and I don't remember much of this until it seems to be coming back to me more and more now. And I just asked the guy, I said, you know, how can you know that you're saved? I've been hearing things going on, and like some of these people are saying they can know they're saved. I'm like, so I just asked him, you know, and he says Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I was kind of trained by, I heard people talking enough where I would have said, and I don't remember all this, but this is what he told me. And I just told him, I said, so what does the next verse say? And he didn't have his Bible out there, of course, and he said, you know, I'm not even sure, but I felt in that sense I won, kind of. I don't know. It seemed like the more I think of it, I can remember a little bit of the night, but I was probably wasted. I don't know. It's just, but I just don't remember much. I don't even, and praise God, I don't remember much of my run around days now, the room spring of days. It just seems like them are wiped from me, and I repented things, and God just took them, and he wiped them. He cleansed my soul from that, and I praise God for that. And Romans 14 says, and I'm sure a lot of you know, it says, how then shall they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he gave me a hard time about that. He said he wished he knew that verse. And I said, don't worry about it. You know, that's all right. And basically, just a memory that I kind of had as I was going through this of what I could share, and figured I'd share that with you. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right. It feels right. You look around. You have all this unity of people kind of lifting you up. But it's the Bible warns us, the end thereof are the ways of death. And it seems like when you look at fruit, when you look at people's lives, and you discern where they're heading, where they're going, what they're saying, what they're talking about, you can feel, you know where you want to head. When Jesus gives you some light of what the Bible says, and when you actually believe what it says, and you want to head that direction, and by His grace and mercy. Was the lamb that was slain receive the reward of sacrifice in your life? I read a little Anabaptist book, and that always touched me. It's something that stayed with me. Was the lamb that was slain? That just kind of blessed me when I read that. When we're able to rely on Jesus with our whole heart, He can do something. He can move us. As I wrote my testimony, I had to stop and pray to praise God of what He delivered me from, only through the blood of Jesus. All this time that I was living in sin, and I just, it just brought a lot of things back. Just brought so many things up, and I was like, I just felt my heart was leaping inside, thinking that I know God forgave me. And it was a blessing. So just, I didn't know that. I thought this, the Amish clothes and driving my horse and buggy was going to save me, basically. I didn't know growing up, when we talked about the world, basically that's what I thought the world was. And when I started reading, I know they say it in German a lot, but I guess I just never caught it sitting in church. I don't know. You know, until we can say the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is the world. And believe that. I talk to people that don't believe that. And it hurts me to think that if they're relying, and you can see in their life they might be, about the horse and buggy, and it's a blessing. I love driving my horse and buggy, but it's a total blessing to drive that. But let's not rely on it to get us to this holy place before the Almighty God. But I heard something say you need to stay away from the world. I thought it was vehicles and English clothes is what I had a note here that basically I shared, and I read my note that I had just to remind me of what. But at the age of 24, I got married, but still didn't want to, because I loved the evil life I was in. If it wouldn't have been for my blessed wife to say, hey, let's get married, I don't know how long it would have went, because I didn't want to. I was going down a road that was fun, that was, it was not fun at all now, but I'm just saying back then, but I figured I could at least stop, to get married. I figured, well, at least I could stop doing drugs, you know, at least that wouldn't be my issue, you know. I could live a good life. I could, you know, fit in, go to church, and I could be a pretty good person. You know, I just wanted to quit drugs. I had a longing to, but I could go a couple months, and it seemed like I'd be at a party, and man, that temptation come back. You'd do anything. And but praise God, it seemed like when I decided to stop, and I did this without Him. Because I never asked Him. I didn't know Him, I could say. I didn't. And I knew there was a God, but I didn't know that He can live in you. I should say it that way. But I just literally, I could stop. And that's a blessing. A lot of people aren't able to do that. They have to go further and get help. I started my own business after I got married, working a lot of hours. I would get up early, and I would just go. I'd come home, and I would sit and do phone calls all night, line the next day up. About 9:30, I'd take a shower and hop in bed. And pretty soon, we had a child, and it did something to me. Seeing that child born, it touched my heart. But basically, it was either the child or my workload. So as my child grew, she got pushed back a lot. I would basically try to find some rattlers and find something to set by the table that I didn't have to hold her. God forbid. I don't want to be that person no more. But Romans 7:24, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And John 6:37 says, and he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Them are comforting verses that I read that comfort my soul. And Never forget the phone call one day. I was on a roof, and this brother in here called me and wanted me to build him a house. And it seemed like at any cost he would have had me build the house. And I thought it was kind of weird, the conversation we had. He's, you know, basically he mentioned that let's keep this house simple. Let's keep the cost down. It's going to be a double-wide trailer. I was like, yeah, I can get you a price. you know, if you let me build in the winter, I'll give you a better price, you know, trying to, because I was busy. I was on a mission. I wanted to be this next upcoming millionaire or whatever you could do, whatever you could say, just somebody that everyone would look up at and say, look at you go. And now I see that it's a race to the bottom. Friends, it's not that. It's how low can you go? How can you submit? Before I knew it, his other two brothers, they wanted to build a house too, and so they come out and we talked, and I kind of pushed them around, and I even made them live together for, I don't know, 4 to 6 months. You know, I could have did it differently where they wouldn't have had to, but I guess the Lord's plan was perfect there for them. And basically, I don't want to doubt that is why it happened, because I had nothing to do with the Lord then. There's something different about these folks. I remember his wife. We built the one house, and it was about June, July before the basements got in. And I remember his wife called and said, you know, we don't like the doorknobs that you put on. And I was like, okay. I said, well, it matches the hinges. You know, I said, that's why we chose that. I guess we should have, because basically they didn't really care. So I just went and bought whatever, you know. And so she said that, and then it seemed like a couple hours later, she called me back and said, you know, I was tempted of the devil. Them doorknobs are fine. And I thought that was really weird. That's something, that's spiritual. What does that mean? You know, tempted of the devil. You know what? I know there's a devil, but it's just something different. I wasn't, you know, basically everybody I work for is, they want it this way, and that's the only way. And if you mess up, you change it. And when I seen that, I could tell something was different, something was missing in my life. When the houses were about done, they started asking me questions about my soul. I knew I was bound for hell, but I didn't have an escape plan. I didn't know there was. He came over on Saturday mornings, started to show me the escape plan from this world. I remember sitting there at the table, speechless. I was like, so you're trying to tell me that this religion, if I'm relying on this, that if I'm working hard, that I'm doing this, you're trying to tell me. And he just showed me in the Word, you know, that's not going to make it. And I just was thinking, you know, my eyes were shelled. I just had a, like Paul, he had a, when those shells fell off, he was on it, you know. And that brother, he never pressured me. He kept planting seeds, and he just kept coming and just saying nice things, loving things. I remember praying after he left one morning. I was really touched. It's like God touched me like never before. And I remember crying out to God, and I backed out of it. I got up. I'm like, I might have to lose some things. That's what I said earlier. We have to count the cost, and until we do, God's not able to do anything. One thing that shook me the most is I had my own business, and he was telling me he quit his job so he could spend more time with his family, and I thought that was foolish at that time. I was like, what's wrong with you, you know? So I started reading the Bible to try to find, to say, hey, you know, I'm okay where I'm at.
I need to find something though. I want to, you know, I need an escape plan too. You know, if I'm not willing to give my all. And sure enough, there's nothing was found. There's nothing in there that I found that my plan was going to work. Then I started praying more earnestly, reading my Bible as much as I could. I just had a yearning. I had a desire. I want to read the Word, and I still do. I just want to read, and it's a blessing. God's Word's a blessing, and can soothe our soul. And you know what God does when you seek Him like the wise men did. Just, are we going to be found? You know, we can be found with wise men, or you know, there's different places we can be found when them heaven doors open. I was listening to a message, and it says, and in the message, Galatians 6, 8, and 9, it said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And I had to, that really touched me, and he really touched a lot of things on that. And when we can have life everlasting when we decide to sow from our spirit. We wouldn't think to go out there and plant corn and then next week walk out there and say, "Why is there beans coming up?" You know, it's either we're giving it our all, we're giving our everything we got, or we're trying to hang on to these couple things that don't let us walk fruitfully. It's just like we're warring against each other. It just doesn't work. Friends, the only thing I can say is through faith and his mercy that we can be overcomers. We can have victory. I remember thinking the time that my daughter was born, and now I have two daughters, and my heart goes out to I would want them to do nothing but to follow Christ, and I know it's up to me. I know it's up to Dad. And says, Jesus didn't call us here to be helpless pilgrims. He called us here to be sons and daughters of Christ. If the same Spirit lives in us as it did Jesus, shouldn't we act like it? He promises everlasting life. And then sometimes the adversary can come in and say, "What about this? What about this?" And then if we don't turn to God, we get in the Word, pretty soon we're starting to justify stuff. Let's not be that group of people. And to close here, I know my time's probably way past here. Sorry about that. I wasn't really watching the clock. Revelations 2:26, it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over nations." And that just blessed me to... If we want to be overcomers, if we want to seek the Lord with our whole heart, there's life after this life. It's a blessing. And God bless you all, and it's good to be here.